This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Eliminate bags under your eyes in minutes with Instantly Ageless from GCNLife.com.
Coming to you live, this is Lock and Load. As we do, we're going to end this week with a fine discussion with Dean Weingarten. Dean's gotten a lot of stuff published just since I spoke with him on Wednesday, so let's kick off with this because this is a question I've been asking myself. Dean, first of all, how are you?
I am doing very well, thank you.
Dean, why haven't the people that tried to kill Kyle Rittenhouse, why haven't they been arrested or charged?
Well, the reason is pretty clear to me, and that is that prosecutors have enormous power, and they can charge who they decide to charge, and they can not charge who they decide not to charge. And in the case of the Kenosha situation, the prosecutors there have decided to charge Kyle Rittenhouse, and they've decided not to charge the people that attacked him. And that's it in a nutshell. And it's a problem that has become increasingly apparent in the United States. I think it was in 1983 that the Supreme Court ruled that prosecutors are immune from civil lawsuits. They cannot be sued. And for anything that's in the performance of their duties when they're bringing charges. So a prosecutor basically has almost carte blanche to do whatever they want. And in this case, they simply did not want to charge those people that had attacked Kyle, even though it is clear from the videotape evidence, and I would submit to most fair-minded observers who are not trying to be partisan in one way or another, that he was attacked by multiple people. Now, because he was pretty successful in defending himself, there aren't quite as many charges that could be brought against these multiple attackers as ordinarily. But still, I think under Wisconsin law, they could be charged with battery, and they could be charged with conspiracy to commit a felony because it was a coordinated attack. There were at least three people who attacked him at once.
The guy who lost his bicep. Now, yes. I have read that he was a felon. Is that the case? Or do you know?
Well, from my research, it's not correct. I researched the Wisconsin court system records as well as I could online, and he was the greatest or the most criminal conviction that he was convicted of was a misdemeanor count of possessing a firearm while intoxicated. Now,
would
there was one
have,
record that indicated
that make him a prohibited person?
No, it does not.
Okay.
It because it's not a felony in Wisconsin, and it's not a domestic violence charge. And he was arrested, and it's not entirely clear, but it looks like it was him, on a burglary charge, but there's no record of a conviction under that charge. And then there are a number of other run-ins with the law on civil charges and lesser complaints. So it's clear that he's not a stranger to the justice system and to police, but I was not able to find any felony convictions for him. Now, there's a separate question, though, that I didn't write about, but it makes sense, and that is, does he have a Wisconsin concealed carry permit? And I didn't find any disqualifiers that would prevent him from having a concealed carry permit, but I haven't seen it indicated anywhere whether he has one or not. And the reason it becomes germane is there's almost certainly considerable video of him at the event over time. And I doubt very much that it shows him constantly, openly carrying the semi-automatic pistol that we see in the last few frames when he's shot. So if it wasn't being carried openly, then very likely it was being carried concealed. And the question is, did he have a permit to carry it concealed or not? So we don't know the answer to that question. But to sum up the answer to your question, why aren't these people being charged? It's because the prosecutor doesn't want to charge them. That's why.
Now, isn't that malfeasance of office? I mean, does he make up? Because he's basically, in order for him to get out there and charge this kid with murder, he's assigned a bunch of stuff to him, like motive, intent.
Yeah.
I mean, at the very at the very most, if he was going to charge anything, my first thought would have been, manslaughter.
Maybe. I mean, I don't think that applies either, because to me, when you look at the videos, it's very clear he's defending himself.
Sure.
I don't think that it even comes close to a manslaughter charge. Now, you might claim reckless endangerment. I mean, even that is quite a stretch. And they also include charging him with possession of a firearm or a dangerous weapon is the actual charge under the age of 18. But it turns out that they're just completely wrong. The law does not forbid him from having a rifle or shotgun under the age of 18 and openly carrying it.
But, I mean, this prosecutor who's decided to do this, he's basically saying there is no right to self-defense, which is a very dangerous precedent to set anywhere. And he's assigning things like murder to things that are not murder.
Well, that's what it appears to me. But I think it's more dangerous than claiming there is no right to self-defense. It's much, it appears to me to be more of, there is no right to defend yourself against leftists.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, that's more dangerous than saying you don't have a right to self-defense. It's saying one particular political class that I approve of, they can use force, but this other political class that I disapprove of, they can't. And that's much more dangerous than just a blanket saying self-defense is not allowed.
Right. Well, I get what you're saying on that. Can a district attorney be impeached? Can he be kicked out of office, recalled?
The primary control for prosecutors is, and they work in offices. I mean, there is an elected district attorney, and then there are prosecutors that work underneath him, which are supposed to follow his guidance and direction. So the primary control is the electors. The voters can vote him out of office next time. And that's basically it. Now, if you can show that he's engaged in criminal activity, and you might, I mean, in this case, you could argue that he is violating Kyle Rittenhouse's rights under color of law. I think you can make a pretty good case for that. Just by being charged with possession of a firearm under the age of 18 when there is no such law that forbids it. Now, what will probably happen is Kyle has an excellent legal defense team.
Yeah.
And they are going to look at the law, and they're going to go to this extradition hearing, and they're going to say, look, this charge isn't even a law. It's just made up out of nothing. And they'll probably drop that. That's what will probably happen.
Let me get you to hang on. We're coming up on the first break of the segment. Dean holds the distinction of, for people that read this kind of stuff, the gun culture stuff, Dean. More people read his stuff than anybody else's. We'll be right back. This is Lock and Load.
Armory makes top-quality AR-style firearms for sport, military, and law enforcement. 100% made in America parts and materials. We manufacture revolutionary three-position binary triggers that can be selected to fire on the pull and release, or set to fire normally. We strongly support and uphold our Second Amendment. We hope you do, too. Get a 10% discount when you mention the code word LOCK AND LOAD at FranklinArmory.com.
Protect, hunt, compete. This is the mantra of CZUSA, delivered via a lineup of superlatives with handguns proven to function in both real-world and competitive settings. Rifles designed specifically for the mission, whether it is law enforcement or built for the plains of Africa. CZUSA has engineered peerless reliability into their superlative product line. Go to cz-usa.com and find out what serious shooters have known since 1991.
I'm here with Scott Youseum, founder of OMG Tax. Tell us how your company helps our listeners out there who have a problem with the IRS.
My team of lawyers, enrolled agents, and licensed tax experts remove wage garnishments sometimes in the same day. We even have reduced the total debt some of our clients were required to pay through what is known as an offer in compromise.
Can you give us an example of somebody you help?
Oh, can I ever? We have taken a $500,000 liability with the IRS. Guess what? The client didn't pay a dime through the representation known as non-collectible status with the government.
If you owe the IRS more than $10,000 and you want to see if it's possible to pay a lot less, call OMG Tax right now for a free tax-saving consultation.
Call 800-486-8112. 800-486-8112. 800-486-8112. That's 800-486-8112.
You've been hearing Dr. Wallach talking about 90 essential nutrients, keeping the body healthy. GCNteam.com now has Beyond Tangy Tangerine Tablets, 60 plant-derived minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, packed in a powerful tablet. But that's not it. 160,000 auric points, a knockout punch to free radicals. Call 877-878-4203 or go to GCNteam.com. That's 877-878-4203.
Would you like to get back that full head of hair from years past? Introducing Reveal from GCNLife.com. Beverly Hills dermatologist Dr. Nathan Newman invented Reveal, which contains polypeptides with natural botanicals and no parabens, sulfates, silicones, or dyes for a salon-quality hair growth product, Reveal. Here's Dr. Newman.
I've treated a lot of patients who lose their hair and they lose their confidence. We've created a unique set of polypeptides, which we call HPT6. The HPT6 contains the polypeptides from six different plants. The scalp infusion treatment should be used on wet or dry scalp. The Reveal hair care system is designed to be used for men and women alike.
Get Reveal at GCNLife.com with a 30-day money-back guarantee. So try Reveal today at GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637. Plus a discount up to 25% off for Reveal at GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
To you live, this is Lock and Load. We're talking to Dean Weingarten. In California, Becerra has decided that he wants to have an in-bank thing. Although, that has a possibility of bouncing back at him, because Trump sort of reconstituted the Ninth Circuit. It's about, isn't it nearly half and half now?
It is getting close. I think it's about 40-60, and there are others that could leave the court and give President Trump more opportunities. And they don't constitute the entire court when they do an en banc because the Ninth Circuit is so large. There's something like, you know, I think 28 judges. I'd have to look to be absolutely certain. So when they create an en banc court to look at the charges, they select 11 judges. And I believe the president or the chief justice, would probably be the correct term, is automatically one of those 11 justices. And the chief justice is currently a very anti-Second Amendment type. And then there's some provision for the three-judge panel that already decided the case, and I can't remember exactly how that goes. They may have a preference of being on the panel. So it's, but the rest of the judges are selected by chance, randomly. So you have a, you know, there's a chance that it could be enough constitutionalist judges on a unbanked panel that they would rule in favor of the Second Amendment. I mean, it's a chance that he has chosen to take. But I think one of the big thing that comes into this is by asking for an en banc panel, Becerra is asking to basically move the case well beyond the election. In the Peruta case, which is another Second Amendment case, and we thought it was a very important case, but basically the Ninth Circuit panel, the in-bank panel, and reversed the three-judge panel on Peruta. That process, from the time that the then AG, which would have been Kamala Harris, asked for an in-bank panel, until the Supreme Court refused to hear the case, was about 2.5 years. I mean, so it took quite a bit of time. And what it means is that this whole process almost certainly won't be decided in the courts until after the presidential election. And it would be extraordinary if it was decided before, because the presidential election is less than 3 months away now. And so the presidential election, in my opinion, becomes far more important how this case is decided than what the courts say. Because if President Trump is reelected, more constitutionalist and textualist judges will be appointed to the courts, and we'll have more chance of getting a reading of the Constitution based on the original meaning and text of the Constitution. And so then it's very likely we will continue to uphold the Second Amendment and continue court cases that expand it and explain what was clearly meant by the Second Amendment. If President Trump is not reelected, then I expect a slew of leftist liberal judges who believe that the Constitution is whatever we need to make it at whatever time we decide we need to change it, known as the Living Constitution Doctrine. And very likely Heller will be eventually decided in such a way that the Second Amendment becomes a meaningless footnote in the Constitution. And the Constitution itself becomes relatively meaningless, because if you have a living Constitution, it means the Constitution means whatever a set of judges says it means at any time they decide to say it.
Well, you know, I'm not so much worried about that, because first, I think Trump's going to just to completely mop the floor up with Joe Biden. And I think it's going to be so decisive electorally that they're not going to try to mount a challenge to it. Although, you know, if he shouldn't take Hillary Clinton's advice, because they already have the problem of being behind the riots and all the violence and all this other stuff and all this divisiveness. And they keep.
Yeah, it's amazing. It is amazing to me how they believe that in the Democrat Party and the old media, that they can play, essentially, they think it's 1984 for real.
Yeah.
They can change all of history. They can change all the pronouncements they've previously made in the last 4 or 5 months.
Well, I mean,
reverse course and say this is the new reality.
Well, look at Pelosi this past week with this
yeah.
salon gate. Her staff sent a text, which they have screen grabs of, saying Pelosi would like to get her hair cut. And then they have other screen grabs where the stylist lets the owner of the salon know that Pelosi wants her hair cut. And then Pelosi's there getting her hair cut without a mask on. And that's okay. She shouldn't be wearing a mask. She's out there making us. She wants to make us wear a mask, though. That's where the hypocrisy comes in. Then she comes out after all this evidence is there, and we clearly see that she has five fingers on each hand, and she has an ear on each side of her head, getting out there saying, this was a setup.
Yeah. You know, when I first heard that, and it shows my age a bit, I couldn't help but think, I believe it was former Mayor Marion Barry in D.C.
Uh-huh.
when he got caught doing cocaine.
Yep.
And in a hotel room with a hooker. And he's saying, the B-I-T-C-H set me up.
Yeah.
I mean, the people on the left, first, you have to understand they have no sense of ethics or morality. It's all situational.
Sure.
Whatever benefits their cause at the moment, or even their personal ambition at the moment, is good. Anything that does not benefit them is bad. It doesn't matter if they have to lie, cheat, steal, murder, rape, whatever. It's all okay as long as they deem that it's been to their benefit.
Yeah.
And we see this with Pelosi, and we've seen it with former President Clinton. I mean, it's just endemic to the left. There is no fixed sense of morality. It's amusing almost is that they believe they can get away with that to the whole public by just saying, who are you going to believe, me or your lying eye?
Well, I mean, we're headed into the next break, but what I find interesting is that lack of morality really takes them way off the trail whenever they're doing it, and the enormity of what they have done completely escapes them, because it's definitely...
Yes.
This for me and not for thee. But anyway, you can catch Dean's stuff. You can see all of Dean's stuff that he's written recently, over 1,500 articles at amoland.com. We'll be right back. This is Lock and Load.
We know there's no such thing as a fair fight, and we bring the unfair advantage that is the 2011 platform.
Dominate.
At STI, we know the most important gun you own is the one that you're carrying when you're facing that threat to life and freedom.
Win.
We want you to enter that objective confident that you are carrying the best gun in a gunfight. No compromise. No sacrifice. STIguns.com. Stand ready to face down the darkness with 2011.
I am not done, but I have found a way to thrive. Elevate. Elevate is a wearable technology designed to mitigate your active lifestyle. Whether you're a professional athlete looking to enhance performance, a yoga practitioner wishing to gain more flexibility, or a person seeking natural ways to relieve pain,
benefits encompass all walks to life and lifestyles.
Elevate is not a cure, but the IE-infused clothing will give you that extra percentage needed to help you get moving. For more information or to order, go to ElevateBill.com. Elevate, because I am not done yet.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
White House Economic Advisor Larry Kudlow says the economy is well on its way to recovery.
This is just in 4 months. We're more than halfway back from where we started in a terrible pandemic.
Kudlow speaking on Fox News after Democratic presidential nominee Joe Biden said only people at the top are seeing a recovery. Biden also said... President Trump is calling a report that he called American troops who died in battle losers or suckers. John Bolton was with the president on that trip. He also says the president did not say those words.
Well, I was there for the discussion on whether to for the president to go out to the Anmar battlefield and cemetery. And I write about it in the book. It was a strict weather call. And I didn't hear him say those things.
You're listening to USA Radio News. In financial news at the closing bell heading into the Labor Day weekend, the Dow was down 159 points to finish at 28,133. An optimistic tone in Washington regarding a new coronavirus relief bill, as we hear from USA Radio Network's Chris Barnes in Washington.
It appears the federal government might be able to avoid a shutdown at the end of this month. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi and the Trump administration have reportedly informally agreed so far to work up a stopgap funding bill that would keep a shutdown off the table until after the election. It would also be something separate from the ongoing talks on a new coronavirus stimulus package.
Democratic vice presidential nominee Kamala Harris and Vice President Mike Pence will both be campaigning in Wisconsin on Monday. Labor Day traditionally signals the last lap of a presidential election campaign. Election Day is on November 3rd. This is USA Radio News.
Stop aging now. Restore those joints. Boost your strength. Because it's official. NutriMedical has released the most exciting, powerful anti-aging supplement on the market. Dr. Bill Deagle's Red Deer Velvet DR has been approved by the U.S. Patent Office. Imagine stem cell rejuvenation all in one capsule without huge expense. Dr. Bill MD discovered that as an unborn baby grows in the mother's womb, he or she does not deteriorate or physically age. Red Deer Velvet DR, like the uterus, provides 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones protected in one special DR capsule that delivers lipid packages directly into your circulation. This patented technology bypasses the stomach and is released into the small bowel unaltered by digestive enzymes and stomach acid. Remember, Red Deer Velvet DR. Improve endurance, stimulate your immune system, increase learning ability, and even improve sexual libido with Red Deer Velvet DR. Click NutriMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com. Or call toll-free 888-212-8871 and get on the road to a newer, rejuvenated, happier you.
Live. This is Lock and Load. And we are speaking with Dean Weingarten. You had another bear spray incident come up that you talked about. Let's talk about that because that is that's a subject that fascinates me. I talked to somebody about that today.
Yes, and this is, I believe, it's probably the second documented bear spray failure fatality. Bear spray proponents are not willing to admit that there have been any cases where bear spray failed and a person was killed. Actually, it could well be the third, now that I'm thinking about it, but because we had the case in Montana where the guide had a Glock 20 in his backpack with the chamber empty. And he got attacked by a sow grizzly with a cub. And the client was able to reach the Glock 20, but being unfamiliar with semi-automatic handguns, he couldn't get it to fire. And he fumbled with it. He tried the various controls, thinking probably that there was a safety on of some kind, but there wasn't. The chamber was empty. And he hit the magazine release, and it dropped the magazine out. And he tried to throw the gun as he was attacked by the bear. He tried to throw the gun to the guide. And then the bear left him and went back to the guide, and he took off and tried to get help. And by the time help got there, the guide had been killed. The can of bear spray had been emptied. Spray was found on the bears. But they said, well, we don't think that it was a bear spray failure because he probably had mortal wounds before he ever used the spray. And then we had the case up at that, was it the Pogo mine? I might have the mine name wrong. I'm going from memory. Up in Alaska where two female employees were attacked by a bear and they deployed bear spray and the bear eventually left, but not until after he'd killed one of the female employees. And then finally we have this case here recently in Alaska on the 29th of July, so it's only a month ago, And it was a very capable woodsman named Daniel Schilling. He had posted a caribou hunt to a hunting site, a story about it. And it's obvious that he knew very much what he was doing out in the wild, that he was in excellent condition and was a superb hunter and sportsman. And in that caribou hunt, he was carrying what is pretty clear to me, a Model 629 stainless Smith & Wesson, probably in .44 Magnum. But I couldn't be absolutely certain about the caliber, but I'm pretty sure it was a 629, and those are almost always in .44 Mag. And he was out about a mile from his cabin clearing trail, and he had a dog with him, and he had bear spray with him. Now, for whatever reason, it appears he did not have a firearm with him. And he was attacked by a bear or bears. DNA from two different bears were found. And when they investigated the incident, they killed four bears, three black bears and a grizzly. And DNA from two of those bears had been found at the site. So two of them, whether one was involved after he was already killed or not is uncertain. But they also found the empty can of bear spray with the safety removed, and bear spray had been sprayed in the area. And since he had a dog with him, it seems unlikely that he was taken completely by surprise. So proponents of bear spray are saying, well, that's not a bear spray failure for certain, because we don't have anybody who witnessed what happened. And so my question is, well, if you found him with a revolver with six empty chambers and evidence that had been fired on the site and he was killed by a bear, would you call that a handgun failure? And my understanding and the way that I would record it in my statistic is that would have been a handgun failure. And so I believe this was a failure of bear spray. So the standards that have been applied to whether a deterrent is used successfully or not appear to be quite different for bear spray and for firearms. And I spend a fair amount of time in the article that's up on AmmoLand talking about how the differences in definitions bias the studies, and that they shouldn't be directly compared to each other. But I don't know how many times and how many articles I read on the Internet and elsewhere where they'll quote a statistic from a bear spray study. That was one done by Herrero in 2008 is the most commonly cited one, where he says that, people involved in bear spray incidents or in bear spray encounters, only 2% of them were injured. And then you look at the study done by Smith in 2012, and he talks about firearms being used in conflicts between humans and bears, and that they're only successful 76% of the time. But it's apples and oranges. You're talking about where bear spray was used in an incident or an encounter, and then you're looking at all the people that were involved, many of which were probably not even participants, they just were onlookers or were there, and you're saying only 2% of those were injured, and you're saying there was a 98% success rate. Then you're looking at incidents involving, actual conflicts between bears and humans, and seeing if there was a firearm involved, whether it was used or not, and you're saying 76% of those were successful. You see how differences in definitions can make a huge difference in the success rate. So I'd like to see Herrero and Smith address these issues and give us a clear definition. They do some of that in an 2018 paper, but they also muddy things a bit, and then they in their summation, they put the two percentages right next to each other on page 11. And even though they have made definitions earlier, to somebody who is not watching very, very carefully, you know, reading the fine print, as it were, it appears that they are directly comparing bear spray effectiveness with firearm effectiveness, when they're really not. And then they also are only looking at Alaska, and they are rather selective in the incidents they choose. Now, you have to, that's something that everybody has to be careful about. But I, the last I had heard, they do not and have not released their data sets. That's always a red flag.
Yeah.
If you can't look at the same data that the researchers used, it's very hard to critique how they did their study.
They're just sort of saying, trust me, take my word for it, although that's never a good idea.
That's
especially,
essentially it.
Yeah. Hang on for me. We're coming up on the break. More people read Dean's stuff than any other writer that occupies the gun culture niche. And he covers the entirety of the gun culture niche. As you know, you can tell that just by the, you know, the variety of topics we're talking about. You can find this stuff at Ammoland.com. We'll be right back. This is Lock and Load.
With a MECTEC carbine conversion unit, you can turn an XD Family Glock or 1911 handgun into a carbine rifle in seconds and have it shipped right to your door, no FFL required. Now, MECTEC is excited to announce our pistol carbine conversion unit. More compact with a 12-inch barrel and an arm brace, proving once again that MECTEC is the world's most versatile handgun accessory. For a limited time, go to handgunconversions.com. That's handgunconversions.com and use coupon code RADIO to receive $35 off any carbine purchase.
The battle of late stage or terminal illness is a fight that affects everything and everyone in your life. If you or a loved one are dealing with advanced stage conditions that are causing financial hardship, like stage 3 or stage 4 cancer, Alzheimer's, COPD, or ALS, then this message is for you. Our Funds for Living program make it a simple 3-step process. Text the word LIVE to 411-411 or visit fifthseasonfinancial.com/radio and we'll send you a link to get started. Choose the amount of money you need. Apply in seconds. That's it. And you're under no obligation. Fifth Season will advance a portion of your life insurance policy and take over your premium payments so you can provide immediate financial relief to the ones you love, all without any out-of-pocket expenses. Fifth Season Financial wants to help you live your best life. Text LIVE to 411-411. Text the word LIVE to 411-411.
Do you want to give you and your loved ones premium nutrition right now? Hi, I'm Jamil Bookaboo from TeamGaday.com and the GCN Longevity Health Team. Get your premium nutrition formulated by world-renowned naturopathic doctor, Dr. Joel Wallach at wholesale, or also become a distributor and earn income while supporting this broadcast. Go to TeamGaday.com via the shopping cart or contact form, and I'll get back to you with support personally. That's TeamGaday.com with Longevity. TeamGaday.com.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
Bags under the eyes, crow's feet, fine lines and wrinkles are things adults complain about as they age. Now, there's Instantly Ageless. It works in minutes and is great for men and women.
I've probably noticed in the past 5 years that my eyes have gained a lot of fine lines, wrinkles, my crow's feet have gotten deeper. Wow. I was hoping for 5 years, but that's like what my eyes looked like 10 years ago.
That is really cool. Wrinkle gone?
It's easy. You just put it on your finger and go.
Now I wish I had more down here because I can still see one wrinkle. It's bugging me.
I am a little bit emotional. I'm turning 40. I didn't think would be a big deal to me, but that looks like the me that I feel like inside instead of what I see when I look in the mirror.
Try Instantly Ageless today at GCNLife.com. That's GCNLife.com. 30-day money-back guarantee and preferred price discount at GCNLife.com. That's GCNLife.com.
Last time on the firing line, coming to you live. This is Lock and Load. We're talking to Dean Weingarten. And now we go full circle because we started out with Kyle Rittenhouse. I'm going to end with Kyle Rittenhouse.
Let me make a point about the bear attacks first, or the bear conflicts. And it's something that I think people need to consider. And that is bear attacks or conflicts between bears and humans are relatively rare events. Probably no more than a couple hundred a year. In those situations, we could shoot and kill every single bear, and it would not have an adverse effect on any bear population in North America. So that's an advantage of firearms. If you kill the bear, it's not going to attack another person. It's not going to come back and attack you. And it won't have, killing those bears will have no adverse effect on bear populations in North America. Okay, let's move on to the next article you wish to talk about.
All right, so with Kyle Rittenhouse, he's 17 years old. Age has become a thing where they're trying, you know, they try to whittle down the eligibility of people to carry guns. And you asked the question, and it's a viable question. Although I also know that there's 17-year-olds right now today serving in the armed forces that run around shooting down planes, and you know they drive tanks and they fire 120-millimeter guns. So I know that they're capable of doing it. But you asked the question about them doing it out
in Wisconsin.
In Wisconsin. Or? Well, I guess so. In Wisconsin, yeah.
Yeah, okay. We're talking about whether it was legal for Kyle to have a rifle. Is that what we're talking about?
Well, are people under the age of 18 forbidden to open carry in Wisconsin?
Okay. Yeah, that's it. Yeah. And what it was is that I looked at Wisconsin law. I grew up in Wisconsin, so I've been interested in Wisconsin law. And when I initially read about the situation there and people made the claim that it was illegal for Kyle to have a firearm, it did not ring true with me because when I was growing up, it certainly would not have been true. And I looked at the law, and there was a statute passed, I believe, in about 1998, and it seems on its face to forbid people from under the age of 18 from having firearms. It says one of the sections in the law, in that law, which I believe is 468.60, says people under the 18, under the age of 18, are forbidden or may not possess firearms or dangerous weapons, and then it includes in dangerous weapons all firearms. But these laws are convoluted and they're complex, and you have to read the entire law. And as I read it, I noticed that there were underneath that section, there are three categories of exceptions to the law. So you have to look at those and say, does Kyle fit under any of these categories? And the first exception was for police officers and people in the military. And you might make a case that Kyle was part of the unregulated militia, perhaps. And then the next one is for the first one was for a target shooting, and then the next one was for military and police. And then the third one is really interesting because it basically says the law does not apply to people under the age of 18 unless they violate one of these three statutes. And then it lists the statutes. And then you go to those statutes and you find the first statute involves possessing or carrying short-barreled rifles or shotguns, which are heavily regulated under the National Firearms Act. And the other two statutes are hunting statutes. And the first one of those says, this doesn't apply to people over the age of 16. And then the second one is about taking the proper class and having the proper certification if you're going to be hunting. Well, Kyle is more than 16 years old, and he wasn't hunting, so none of the prohibitions on carrying dangerous weapons in terms of rifles or shotguns apply to him in this case. So what obviously happened is that it just strikes me as bizarre, is that this assistant DA who signed the criminal complaint against Kyle obviously did not read the law very carefully. They just did a cursory first read where it says people under the age of 18 are forbidden from having, may not possess dangerous weapons, and those include firearms, and didn't read down all the exceptions in the law. And so they put forward, did a criminal complaint on a statute that doesn't apply. So Kyle was perfectly legal in carrying, openly carrying, an AR that had a barrel more than 16 inches in length.
Well, that's the thing, isn't it? A lot of people don't understand the different classifications of what an AR is and all that other stuff. So they look at it and they just think it's a military rifle, but it actually falls in the same. It falls under the same sort of scrutiny as any other rifle.
Any other rifle, it is a rifle, and it's it's been carefully designed and produced to make sure it falls into the category of rifle in the United States. And there's been on the other side, on the left, I see these characterizations that are just silly, and partly it's ignorance. People don't know anything about guns, and they haven't studied the law of self-defense, and they just think guns bad. Well, it's not allowed for somebody to have an AR, or it shouldn't be. They're just speaking from ignorance and emotion, but we see an awful lot of that. And you notice that there is this huge difference in the way that Kyle Rittenhouse, who was retreating from people who were attacking him, who used his firearm very judiciously and only on people that were attacking him, compared to the person over in Portland who killed somebody on tape without provocation and then later got into a gunfight with police and had a long criminal record. And the person in Portland is lauded as essentially a martyr to the cause, and Kyle Rittenhouse is labeled a mass murderer.
Right.
I mean, the world's upside down if you look at that. And anybody, I would suggest anybody who wonders whether I'm exaggerating or extrapolating to extreme, look at the actual videos. make
yeah,
your
the videos
based
are,
on that.
That's the thing I don't understand about the prosecutor. All this video exists from all kinds of different angles.
Yes.
From down the street where he was running to, from up the street where he's running from. And all kinds of video exists about him before all this started, including the part where he made him mad when he put out the fire that was in the dumpster.
Well, yeah, and that's been disputed if that's really him or not, but clearly he was involved with that group.
Yeah, but I'm sure they could tell he was young, and I'm sure they looked at him as sort of easy prey.
That's what I think, too, because when you study these things, you realize that criminals are just sort of another kind of predator. They're just a human predator.
Sure, they're looking
and
for the
easy thing.
And
they don't want to go up against a hard target.
Yeah.
In fact, I was taught that when I was, you know, in my 20s by a wise first sergeant I had who talked about going through very difficult neighborhoods in all around the world. And he said, I never had a problem. So you just got to look like you know what you're doing and you're not afraid of anybody.
Yep.
And
give
I
off that vibe. We're getting ready to run out of time, so hopefully, as far as I can tell, everything's going to be working on Wednesday, so will you be with me?
My intention is to be there.
Very good, sir. Thank you for joining me this evening.
It's always a pleasure, Bill.
Yes, sir. Back again on Monday. Well, and, you know, stay safe this weekend, okay? Remember this, it's never been about gun control, not once, not ever. It has been, it's always going to be about total control. Like I said, stay alert this weekend. This has been Lock and Load. Spikes Tactical, we are all shooters with a very simple mission. Make the best product we can perfect at the best possible price for our consumers. We strive to produce the best components and rifles available, with quality control second to none, because real-world events don't allow for a second chance. Whether you are an operator, competitor, or home defender, Spikes Tactical will serve you well. Go to SpikesTactical.com. Spikes Tactical, 100% American-made to the highest standard. At Chambers Custom, we have one job. We strive to build the most obsessively reliable, accurate, and beautiful pistols for the discriminating gun owner. Fusing the ageless 1911 design with a 21st century approach to each part and component, Chambers Custom meticulously begins each pistol as a standalone project, creating a bespoke, handcrafted, peerless firearm. They integrate all of the internal, external, and intrinsic elements that make a custom 1911 unique. Go to ChambersCustom.com. Chambers Custom, truly the mechanical advantage.
If you have diabetes and you're on Medicare, Medicaid, or have private insurance, you may qualify for a new continuous glucose monitor. Managing your diabetes is crucial to your health. The new CGM can automatically and easily help you manage your diabetes more effectively. And by using a CGM, you can eliminate the one thing most people with diabetes dislike the most, finger sticks. Now you can automatically manage your diabetes and end the painful finger sticks. Solara Medical Supplies makes it simple for you to have a new CGM. We'll do all the insurance paperwork for you and deliver the newest in diabetic care technology right to your door. Take charge of your diabetes today with the help of a new continuous glucose monitor. Call now to learn more.
800-547-5331. 800-547-5331. 800-547-5331. That's 800-547-5331.